NPR East Africa correspondent Gwen Tompkins speaking with us from Nairobi, Kenya. And now to Kenya's neighbor, Sudan. A report by the humanitarian group Refugees International has found Sudan's sexual violence and rape laws actually hurt the women they're meant to protect. In fact, laws there shield perpetrators, deny victims medical care, and even expose them to further abuse. The report is called Laws Without Justice. For more, I spoke with human rights expert Adrian Fricke, who co-authored the report, and Ken Bacon, the president of Refugees International. He explained how he got involved with the project.
I went to Darfur and Khartoum in January with Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico. He had been invited over there by the Save Darfur coalition to see if he could intervene with the president of Sudan, Omar al-Bashir, in order to accelerate negotiations to end the war. And he asked me to come along as a humanitarian advisor. In the course of our meeting with President Bashir, Governor Richardson brought up the problem of rape, which is really quite horrible and extensive in Darfur. And the president denied that rape was a problem and said, you really should go talk to our justice ministry and find out what we're doing about rape, even though it's not much of a problem. So we did. And while we talked to the people of the justice ministry, they described what their laws were and how they enforced them. And I asked if we could come over and assess how they were enforcing their laws, and they said yes.
Adrian, moving on to the work that you did there, how did you go about trying to basically investigate or explore how rape was treated in the criminal justice system?
First and foremost, the woman, the consultant with whom I worked, was fabulous. And she had worked for a year and a half on GBV issues in Darfur, specifically monitoring cases where rape victims were trying to use the legal system. So she really brought a tremendous expertise.
Can you explain what GBV issues are?
Oh, certainly. I'm sorry. Gender-based violence. Now, in this report, we really focus on sexual violence like rape, but gender-based violence is really any violence that is directed against a person because of his or her gender. In terms of who we were trying to speak with, we wanted to look to individuals in Sudan with insight into the problem. So, for example, human rights attorneys who are looking to bring cases and have analyzed the law.
I just want to ask you for a story. You must have found incidences of what women had gone through who were actually raped. Perhaps there's an example you can give us, a personal story of someone.
Well, my colleague told me of one incident in which a girl had actually snatched the military badge of the perpetrator who had raped her during the assault. And she told me this story to illustrate the fact that the law is so flawed, because despite the fact that she had this physical evidence that she had been assaulted by this specific person, she was not, that was not sufficient evidence to go forward with the claim.
Very compelling story, Ken. I want to get back to you. Give us a sense of what the laws are, and then I want to ask you about what you think you can do about the situation.
Sure. Well, first of all, the laws are very hostile to the women's interest. They really define rape as an offense against a term called zina, which is intercourse between a man and a woman who are not married to one another. So they look at rape in terms of adultery, in a way, and the women frequently are charged with being an adulteress, even though they've been raped. So there are very hard standards of evidence to meet to prove rape. And worse than that, the law grants immunity to anybody who's in uniform. So if a woman is raped by a soldier or a policeman working for the government, that person immediately gets immunity. This is just completely unfair. In addition, it's difficult to get medical services. This is an issue that Refugees International has been working on really for 3 or 4 years, along with many other NGOs. And finally, the non-government organizations who attempt to help women frequently are harassed. Rape is an extremely sensitive issue to the government of Sudan. And as the report makes clear, the government usually denies that rape is taking place. And in fact, their official reports show that maybe there were 5 or 6 cases of rape in a year. but there have been very detailed, well-documented reports put out by Doctors Without Borders in Holland and by the International Rescue Committee that focus on a particular area or clinic that give irrefutable evidence of hundreds of rapes over a relatively short period, several months, in a very localized place. So the fact that rape is taking place in massive numbers is beyond refute.
What are you hoping to do? Because
That's a good question. First of all, why did we take on this project? We took it on for two reasons. The first was because the government talked to us about this, and we wrangled an invitation to come back and do it. And we felt it was extremely important to put together a good team of lawyers and Arabic speakers who could actually look at what the rape laws are and what protection or lack of protection they give to women. We hope that by pointing to the deficiencies of the laws, we will help support internal Sudanese forces that are working to change the laws and also put international pressure on Sudan to change the laws. This has worked in other places like Pakistan. But there is an indigenous civil society movement now, including members of parliament, trying to push to reform the rape laws and so that they give more protection to women.
If you had to boil down the report to one or two findings, what would the most important ones be?
The most important finding is that the laws are stacked against women, and the entire system is designed to protect men, particularly men in uniform, and those laws have to be changed.
Adrian, when you think about all of the instances in which rape has been used as a war crime, in which rape laws are not favorable to women, what do you want to take away from this experience?
I think it's very important to realize that first and foremost, that the advocates in Sudan who are working so hard and have been working on this issue are themselves Muslims, and that there is nothing inherently Islamic about defining rape in this way. Rape is sexual violence. It is a serious crime. It is not adultery. The other thing that I think is very important is that nothing will change for these women until and unless the laws change. The law changing itself on the books may not affect an immediate change on the ground, but the change on the ground will not and cannot happen until soldiers, border guards, policemen, all of the people who are affiliated with the government of Sudan understand that they will not be extended immunity for serious crimes like rape. So I think that while the change in the law itself may not be sufficient to change the entire picture on the ground for women in Darfur, it is necessary. And I think that Sudanese advocates understand that, and that is why they're pushing so hard for the change.
Well, Adrian, Ken, thank you for your time.
Farai, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Adrian Fricke is a human rights expert. She co-authored the report Laws Without Justice, which focuses on Sudanese rape survivors. We also heard from Ken Bacon, president of Refugees International, a humanitarian organization based in Washington, D.C. You can read the full report at our website, npr.org/newsandnotes.